Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 27th of January, recording at 8:57 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, in terms of technical signals, the most interesting thing that happened here today was that there was quite a good upward dynamic on the Australian Stock Market Index. That closed up 1.23% at a new high. Now, I'd been concerned about Australia, and I think I'd said earlier in the week that it was really needed to move here fairly soon because it was in danger of ranging sideways for longer than it had previously, and also had it weakened, it would give, had it weakened from the levels that we saw earlier in the week, that it would be creating a downward reaction bigger than we had seen previously. But no, it hasn't done that. It has broken upwards here, pushed through that 4100 level that I had mentioned on that S&P ASX 200 index. Now, so what, some of you might be saying, particularly new subscribers who may not have had a chance to hear previous audios and discussions on this point. When I place great store by Australia in terms of being a leader among the developed markets in this cycle, ditto New Zealand. But the Australian one that is Australian index is the one that I've kept the closest eye on, not only because of its leadership, but also because of the consistency of the trend. And I felt that as long as that overall trend remained intact, that it was quite unlikely that we would see a major unraveling of the global stock market cycle. Now, going back to that Australian index, which looks overextended overall, but it has just completed a consolidation. If there are any doubts I have, it's that the move was so strong, it's really the biggest upside move that I think we've seen throughout the whole rally, as far as a single day is concerned, that I'm just hoping that isn't a last gasp sort of development. If it's not, we'll get follow through tomorrow, and I'll post the chart in any event tomorrow. But you get the picture, I'm sure, from this description. Owen had pointed out to me this morning that a number of other stock markets, mostly minor markets around the world, had pushed up to new recovery highs. But I think there are also a couple of the smaller European stock markets, Austria, which has been a leader within Europe for quite a while, that reached a new high. And there was one other, I believe it was the Amsterdam index for the Netherlands. Now, on the negative side of the ledger, the U.S. performance remains sort of weak generally. It is oversold, but I don't expect a big recovery. A big impressive recovery would, of course, be a move straight back up, even faster than it had come down, that takes out the highs that we saw back in December. Now, I just don't, as I say, I don't think that's going to happen. And one of the reasons that I think it's going to happen is because of the understandable preoccupation with short-term interest rates. Now, I've also said that although the short-term interest rates are pushing up, as long as the bond market didn't really unravel, and I do think that the bond market will unravel at some point, and it could be fairly soon, but mind you, I've been saying that for a while. But as long as the bond market didn't unravel, that probably meant that we weren't on the brink of a serious, sustained downward move in the U.S. stock market, although I do expect to see that at some point this year and also at some point next year. Now, in addition to interest rates, the other negative factor that does concern me quite a bit is the oil price. That got quite close to the $50 psychological level that I've been talking about, then backed away, and that helped to curb a down day on Wall Street, which actually turned into a minor up day here as far as the NASDAQ is concerned, and the S&P with a tiny gain, and the Dow coming in at 31 points down. But oil trading after hours here at 48.61 as I speak. I do think, however, that we will see the oil price pushing higher before too long. And just read that Mark Fauber piece that I put on the website, and read the demand comments in terms of Asia's oil requirements, which he expects to double over the next, he's not sure, can't possibly be sure, but you know, I think he gave a 6 to 15 year time frame, but it's rising exponentially, and that really is a very, very important development. Major factor behind my preference for the supply inelasticity markets, as you know. And the demand trends for these metals are very strong. Well, basically now, how do we play it as far as the stock markets are concerned? My investment portfolio is almost entirely in Asia and supply inelasticity investments, and the Asian component is bigger than the supply inelasticity components, and that is consists mainly of an energy fund position, and that's that Investec Global Energy Fund that I've mentioned so many times, and also a few individual share positions. I've got that Merrill Lynch Golden General Trust in one of my pension funds as well. So that's pretty much the picture, and I'm still reasonably relaxed with those positions. I had to fight a temptation to go back into my Indian fund, which I remember I reduced. Well, I'm still in the Indian fund. That's a J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust. That's a closed end fund, an investment trust, and I took out a quarter of my position at a slightly higher level because it looked overextended and so on, and the investment trust had gone to a premium to net asset value, and my attitude towards these things is you start getting out when you see the premiums, and you look to buy when you've got quite a reasonable discount to net asset value. Well, I fought off the temptation to buy it, and I was tempted because the Indian stock market had perked up, and after a downward correction. But the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust was still selling at a premium, not at that big a premium, but at any rate, I didn't do it. I prefer, but I'm not going to add, because I've already got a very substantial position in my Aberdeen New Tie Investment Trust, which still looks to me very good and still has that discount to net asset value has narrowed, but it's still around the 6% and a bit level, and I do feel that the countdown to next month's election and the aftermath of that period following that election in Thailand is likely to be bullish for the stock market overall. Japan, I still have a speculative position there. I was tempted to add to that and fought off that temptation, and in other words, to add to my futures position. I was encouraged to do so by the fact that the Nikkei had actually been down a little bit today, but that second section index was up for the 25th out of 27 days. I mean, that really is some overall performance, and I put great store in that being an important lead indicator, the Nikkei. But I thought, no, don't do it at this stage of the cycle. Wait, if that moves upwards and still looks good, and I can place an in-the-money stop to protect my existing position, then I can leverage it up. But that's to take the more conservative stance, basically. What else can I mention here for you? The U.S. Treasury bonds does look like, well, it is another upside failure for those bonds, although I'd like to see a little bit more dynamic follow-through on the downside. They're only down 5/32 in here today. on that March futures contract. In metals, it's a firm sector here. Tin continuing to recover, closed at 8,000. I've got a long position there, and I'm absolutely delighted to see the backwardation increase. It closed tonight with a $66 backwardation. That's very good news as far as I'm concerned. I'm quite tempted to buy a little bit of lead. That's an old favorite of mine. I've bought that on numerous occasions. The backwardation's been very, very persistent. It's lagged a little here recently, but it looks steady overall. My main concern is that after such a terrific performance that we've seen in most of those metals over the last three years, that some of the action, well, they tend to described it, they tend to rally upwards towards the higher side of the range, some of them punching through to a new high, and then get a bungee jump decline on the downside, which is really, really savage. And the overall pattern is one of ranging activity, and albeit with a bit of an upward bias in most instances. But I'm, as I say, I may well go in and pick up that lead, because I do feel that the supply and elasticity theme is very strong here. And we flushed out a lot of those hedge fund positions, and I wouldn't be surprised, well, I would expect many of them to come back. I've also got quite a bit of gold in terms of futures, which I'd rolled over. That's down 70 cents in here today at 26.1 as I speak. It's down very slightly. That's because the dollar has rallied here a little bit today. But gold had a good day yesterday, as you know, after a weekday. I think it was on Monday. And that's pretty much it. In terms of today's overall action. So I will just wish you a very good evening.